Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Here's what the Bible says. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for what we've enjoyed already, the fellowship and the singing and the testimonies. And I pray now that as we come to this part of the service where we open your word and preach, and I believe, Father, that I'm preaching what you want tonight. And so I just pray that you'll help and that you'll speak and that we'll listen and we'll be obedient to the word of God. If there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray tonight would be the night they decide to receive Him. Speak to us as Christians, work in our lives and in our hearts, in our minds, doing us what you know needs to be done. We'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. Tonight I had a completely different sermon that I had already to preach. It was I worked on it most of the week. It was ready. It was done. It was baked, however you want to say. But John Fim messed me up. Last Sunday morning, after Sunday school, after the service, he said, "Hey, next weekend I'm going to go up and see my mom. I was going to ask Jean to teach Sunday school class, but since it was Mother's Day, I didn't want her to have to teach, so would you mind teaching my class?" And I said, "Okay, I'll be glad to." And so I forgot the teacher's book here at the church. I didn't get it until Thursday when I came by. And I picked up the teacher's book and studied the lesson Thursday. And then Friday, as I made a quick trip, flying trip down to Columbus, and spent all day Friday, and then Saturday morning as I was flying back. And it was a good Sunday school lesson. Those of you that have been here for Sunday school know that we're in a series now about the family. We've had it 2 weeks now, and then we're going to talk about it two more weeks. And next week is a good lesson, too. I don't know if you've looked ahead, but next week's lesson is about how we can, together as a family, give to the work of God. And this morning's lesson was how we can get along as a family. And it used, for those that weren't in Sunday school, just give you a quick overview. It used the example of Abraham and Lot, and there in Genesis chapter 13, when they'd come back from Egypt, and they were both very rich, and the land was not able to bear all of their herds, and so there was strife, there was a dispute, there was an argument that broke out between the people that took care of their herds. And the lesson this morning was about the actions that Abraham took to resolve that strife, to keep peace in the family. And I shared with John's class, and I apologize tonight to you that we're in there, because I'm going to be a little bit repetitive tonight in my introduction. But the author started out by making this statement. He says, the important thing is that we not have problems. In other words, don't strive not to have problems. I mean, we're going to have problems. But he said, the important thing is how we deal with those problems when they come up. And again, he used Abram's example and used the things that he did as an example to us of how to deal with family problems. And as I was studying the lesson, I was reminded that a church is a family. And I'll tell you what, I struggled with this all afternoon because I said, "Boy, they just got a dose of it. Just got a dose of it in Sunday school this morning. They don't need to repeat it tonight." And I started going over the sermon that I had already written. I could just not get peace about it. And I said, "Boy, wouldn't it be something if for the special tonight," and Dick forgot his tape at home. I don't know what he was going to sing. But wouldn't it be something if Dick sang tonight, or if Chris played tonight, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God." And I don't know if you recognize it, but that's exactly what she played for the offertory, which was like a lightning bolt hitting me when she started playing. "Okay, God, you win. I'm glad I decided to do what you wanted me to do, Dick." Okay, pretty close. But tonight, what I'm preaching is John's fault, because if he hadn't asked me to teach a Sunday school class, I wouldn't have studied the lesson as much as I did. I wouldn't have thought about it as much as I did. And I wouldn't be talking about what I'm going to be talking about tonight. But tonight, I'm going to preach on the subject, peace in the family of God. And again, I'm going to start at the same place the Sunday school lesson did this morning. The important thing is that we not, is not that we not have problems. The important thing is when we have problems, how we deal with them. We're going to have problems. I told the class this morning, we're human beings. And even though we're Christians, and you got to be a Christian to be a part of the family of God, even though we're Christians, we still have that old nature that we were born with that lives inside of us. And every once in a while, that old nature is going to get the upper hand. Every once in a while, that old nature is going to flare up. It's going to cause us to say things or do things or hurt each other or fuss with each other. And we don't, as a result of that, we don't have the peace that God wants us to have as a church family. Our church has experienced it. Other churches have experienced it. Gene mentioned this morning, and I had read the letter yesterday, and I put three of them out on the table, the letter, the monthly letter that the association puts out. Our associational missionary, Brother Jim, has a section where he talks about everything that's going on in the different churches. And at the bottom of that section, he asked us to pray for churches in the association because he said there were several of them that were having some tough times. Several of them that had some internal things going on that God just needed to deal with it. And so strife goes on in every family. Strife goes on in every church family. And as I pointed out this morning, the sad thing about strife is the longer you let it go, the harder it is to deal with. And I used the example this morning about the Mississippi River. If you go up to the state of Minnesota, where the Mississippi River starts, it's just a little stream, you can easily step over that stream. You don't need a bridge. You don't need a boat. You can just take one single step and step over it. In fact, when I said that, Jean told us that she and Dwayne had done that. They'd gone up into Minnesota, where the Mississippi River had starts, and they'd stepped over that stream. Now, if you let the Mississippi run its course from north to south, and you go down to New Orleans where it empties out in the Gulf of Mexico, you can't step over the Mississippi River. You got to take a boat or you got to take a bridge. It's after it runs its course, it's deeper, it's bigger, it's wider. And strife runs the same way. If you step over it and deal with it when it's small, you can take it in a single step. It's easy to deal with. But if you let it run its course, it gets bigger, it gets deeper, it gets wider, and it's a whole lot harder to deal with than when it starts. Now, I'm talking to Christians tonight. I'm talking to our church family tonight, and I'm talking to ones that are visiting with us tonight that are thinking and praying about whether this church family should be their family. And I want to make 5 points tonight about peace in the family of God. Just 5 quick points. Number one, Dad wants us to get along. Dad wants us to get along. Just like a human father wants his children to live in peace, so does our heavenly Father. No human father wants their children to fight. We don't want them to fight when they're little. We don't want them to fight when they get to be teenagers. We don't want them to fight when they get to be adults. And the heartbreak of many parents today is that their adult children cannot get along. And there's estrangement between brother and sister, or sister and sister, or brother and brother. And so human parents sometimes are heartbroken because their children, regardless of their age, can't get along and have no peace in the family. The same thing is true of God. He wants His children to get along. I'm going to share tonight with you some verses of Scripture that I think point to that. Second greatest commandment. Love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself, the way the Bible says. That tells me that God wants us to get along. In the book of John, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye love one another." In Philippians chapter 2, "Let nothing be done through strife." Paul was writing to the Philippian church, and he was saying, "Let nothing be done in the church through strife." in the book of Proverbs. It says this. I've used this verse a lot with husbands and wives, but it's also true of church family problems. The Bible says, "Let not the sun go down on your wrath." And I could go on, and I could give you scripture after scripture. I could give you command after command. I could give you precept after precept. All encouragement from God. But I tell you, I'll be honest with you tonight. I don't think that I need to. I don't think that I have to. I think if we were honest and we thought about it just for a second, that every Christian here would say and agree with me and know in their being, in their essence, in their soul, that God wants us to get along with one another. And He's displeased when we don't. By the way, that's the way it's going to be when we get to heaven. When we get to heaven, we're going to get along. When we get to heaven, we're not going to fuss. Now, in heaven, it's going to be easier because this old man that lives inside of me is going to be gone. Not this old man, but the old man that lives inside of me. He's going to be gone. My old nature is going to be gone. I mean, I won't have that force working on me, that carnal part of me that wants to stir up things. I won't have to deal with that anymore. And you don't know, some of you, and I don't know if I should say this or not, but even as a pastor, I have an old nature. And there are times that I want to get into the middle of stuff and just stir it up, and I know that just make it worse, but I want to do that because I have the same thing inside of me that you have inside of you. That old man, that old nature, that old carnality that wants us to get in and duke it out and say, "Hey, I want my way," and all that other stuff. And I have to fight it. Sometimes I win, sometimes I lose, just like you. But when we get to heaven, we're not going to have that. And I was thinking this afternoon, that's a taste of heaven that we don't have to wait to heaven to have. We can have it now. We can claim it now. We can enjoy it now. I loved it when Dick sang his song this morning. Touched my heart. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. That's the way it ought to be all the time. All the time. Oh, and by the way, I'm not preaching tonight because we have some problem. If there's a problem, I don't know about it, and nobody tell me about it. Okay? I'm not preaching because we have a problem. I mean, we've had problems. Everybody knows that. But I don't know of a problem we're having tonight. I'm just preaching this because God told me. And if you get mad, talk to John. It's his fault. But we can have a sweet, sweet spirit in this place all the time because God, point number two, tells us how we can get along. This morning, we talked about the example that Abraham gave to us. In Genesis chapter 13, Abraham made this statement as he was talking to Lot. And Abram said unto Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren." And after that verse, the Bible goes into the actions. Now, don't worry, that's not Sam making all that noise. We got some loose shingles up there. Some of you are wondering, what's Sam doing up there? He ain't doing nothing. Well, I shouldn't say that. He's doing something, but he's doing what he's supposed to do. He's not making that noise. That's the shingles on the roof, so don't worry about it. Abraham made that statement. He said, "Lot, there shouldn't be any strife between us. We're brethren. We belong to the same family." And then the lesson went into, and I won't repeat what the lesson said this morning, but the lesson went into the actions that we need to take to have that peace. It's mentioned many, many times in the Bible. It's said in different ways. It's said with different words. Same thought, same idea. But I'm going to use that idea as it's expressed in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." Let me read it again. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." That's what Abraham did. I keep saying Abraham, his name hadn't been changed yet, but that's what Abram did. I mean, he was the older. He was the patriarch of the family. He had every right to tell Lot what to do to avoid the strife. But instead, he said, "Hey, Lot, we shouldn't be fighting like this. We're brethren. We need to separate. You pick. Which way do you want to go? Which section of the land do you want?" If there's strife, now listen, this is not how the old man thinks. And I'm not pointing to myself as the old man, I'm pointing to the old man that's inside me. What I'm going to say is not what we think with our old nature. But if there's strife, what this verse is saying is, give in. If there's strife, defer. If there's strife, esteem other better than yourself. You go back, and we talked a little bit about this morning. Abram didn't try to place blame. He didn't say, "Lot, hey, this is your fault. Your guy started it. My herdman would never do anything like that. The people that take care of your cattle had to start." He didn't try to do that. He accepted responsibility. He said, "Hey, Lot, we're in this together. We're in the same family. Doesn't matter whose fault it is. Doesn't matter who started it." I mean, and we talked a little bit about it in class this morning. Maybe they were following Abraham and Lot's example. I mean, there's nothing in the Bible that talks about them arguing between the two of them. But maybe something they did was interpreted by their servants to say, "Hey, our masters are fighting. I guess it's okay for us to do it too." I shared with the Sunday school class this morning that when our kids were really little, sometimes Debbie and I disagreed on things. Oh, and by the way, Dory, it's still going on. It's not just when they were little, but my point is, sometimes we disagreed, and we would discuss it. I mean, we would talk about it. And the kids interpreted that. They'd always say, "Why do you guys fight?" And we tried to tell them, "We're not fighting, we're just discussing." I mean, we weren't yelling at each other or anything like that, but anytime there was a disagreement, their young minds interpreted that we were fighting. And perhaps Abraham and Lot discussed things, and their herdmen said, "Well, our masters are fussing. Maybe it's okay for us to do it too." I don't know. Abraham didn't try to figure it out. He didn't try to figure who was right and who was wrong. He didn't try to figure out who to blame. He just said, "Look, Lot, we're brethren. We shouldn't fight and fuss like this. Let's figure out how to fix it, and let's move on." Peace is more important than things. Talked about this in Sunday school this morning. Peace is more important than things. How many of you know families that when grandpa and grandma die, they get into a fuss over what's left? I shared with Sunday school class this morning. I know of a family where two sisters have not talked to each other over something that cost 29 cents. 29 cents. They haven't talked to each other for going on 12 years now because they fought about something when grandma died that cost 29 cents. Relationships are more important than things. Relationships are more important than winning. More important than winning. Relationships are more important than having our own way. Look, if you're trying to get to the point where you can say, "Well, I won because I was right," and you destroy a relationship, you've made a bad trade-off. A bad trade-off. Jesus was the rightest person that ever lived, and yet he deferred and gave himself on Calvary so that peace could be made between us and God. So, God wants us to get along. He tells us how to get along. Point number three, strife affects all badly. Strife affects all badly. It affects those that are directly involved badly. Not only affects how you feel, and you know what I'm talking about. When you're fussing with somebody, you just don't feel right. There's something wrong. There's just a cloud like that Peanuts character that always had that cloud over his head. there's just something wrong. But it also affects your race that you're running for God. If you have strife with somebody, it's going to impact what you do for Jesus. It will. It will. It not only affects those directly involved, it affects others in the family that are not directly involved. People know. Even though they're not involved in something, they can come in and say, there's something wrong. There's something missing. There's something not right. Our spirits commune with one another, and our spirits can tell when there's strife. And then it affects others outside the family. I've said this before. The world has its eye on us. It's watching us. It's watching how we get along. It's watching our relationships. I wonder how many people that are that have been on the fringe of Christianity and on the fringe of discipleship have been turned away because of strife in a church family and never took that final step to accept Christ, never took that step to be a sold-out disciple. So strife affects us all. Number four, peace is everybody's job. Now I'm going to park here just for a second. Peace is everybody's job. In a human family, peace in the family is not just dad's job. In a human family, peace is not just mom's job. In a human family, peace is not just the responsibility of the children. In a human family, dad, mom, children, grandpa, grandma, grandchildren, however many are involved in your human family, peace is every single person's responsibility. And in a church family, it's the same way. Peace is not just the pastor's job. Peace is not just the Sunday school teacher's job. Peace is not just the job of the senior citizens or the young people. Peace is not just the job of those that have been in the church family for a long time, nor is it just the job of those that have just come. Every single person in a church has the responsibility to protect, promote, and to propagate peace in the church family. Every single person. Every single person. In Matthew chapter 5, the Bible says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, because they shall be called the children of God." And then number five, peace requires constant vigilance. A church can't get to the point where everything is going fine and then fold their hands and say, "We made it. We have arrived. We have peace." Because you can have peace for a moment, for a minute, for an hour, for a day, for a week, and just like that, if you're not vigilant, it can be destroyed. That's why I think the admonition that's in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, applies to this. That's where the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." The devil wants to get us off course. The devil wants to slow us down. The devil, he would like to destroy us as a church. And one of his tools, I think the one he probably uses the most, is to cause strife in a church family, because he knows that if we're fussing with one another, he's got us exactly where he wants us. We won't do the things that we're supposed to do if there's strife in the midst. So we need to be vigilant. Now, I think we can have peace. I think we can have it more than we've known it in the past. Are you saying that we're never going to have another problem? No. Because we're still human beings. And as long as this church is made up of human beings, we're going to have disputes, we're going to have problems, we're going to have times of strife. But I think if everybody would accept the fact that we're all responsible for it, if everybody would accept the fact that God wants us to get along and that He tells us how. And if everybody would accept the methods that He's given us to do that, we can have that sweet, sweet spirit that we've enjoyed, that Brother Dick sang about this morning, that we saw last night, that we saw this morning, that we see often. It doesn't have to be interrupted. We can have it if we claim it and do what God tells us to do to get it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this reminder tonight to all of us. I preach to myself tonight as much as I preach to anybody. And I pray that we would listen as the Holy Spirit takes this truth, puts it into our hearts and in our minds, and helps us to understand in a personal way what it means to be responsible for peace in a church family. What it means to use the methods that God's given us, that you've given us, to have that peace. And so I pray tonight that all of us would recognize that responsibility. I pray tonight that we would step up to it. I pray tonight that we would desire it. I pray tonight that we'd work at it, that we'd be vigilant, that every single one of us would understand and work toward keeping peace in our family. Father, I pray tonight if there's somebody here that doesn't have peace with you, they're not a part of our family, the family of God, because they don't have peace made by Jesus Christ. I pray tonight that they could see their sin, they'd see the penalty for that sin, they'd see the payment that was made on Calvary for that sin, and tonight they'd receive Christ. Speak to our hearts, doing them tonight what you know needs to be done. We'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.